Welcome to the IWA podcast. I'm Jess Blair and I'm joined today by Darren Hill from Positive and Rodri Evans from FSB Wales. We're here today to talk about the manifestos. So let's kick off. What are the big differences between the manifestos, Darren? What are the big party pledges?
Well, I think there's significant differences in tone and significant differences in levels of detail. So you find, I think, particularly from Plaid and from the Liberal Democrats, far meatier, far more depth, a greater sense of narrative, as if they're trying to inspire in a different sort of way. The big differences, I guess, are framed not over the bulk of policy areas, because, you know, 50 to 60% are drawing from the same ideas pool that everybody else is. The differences are senses of prioritisation and sometimes levels of detail around things like financing and the use of legislation.
So, Rodri, is this quantity versus quality? Does bigger always mean better?
It doesn't always mean better, but I suppose it's interesting to see the detail when it's there. I mean, I think, you know, the one thing about the manifesto is it's an opportunity for the parties to really set up their vision as well as the policies that form part of that vision. So I think it's quite interesting to see, you know, the differences that we've seen in the parties and the way they've expressed that. Now, there are some parties, obviously, are coming into this from almost a blank slate. I mean, if you look at the UKIP manifesto, for example, you know, this is perhaps the first time that we've seen the policies they brought forward. As Darren said, you know, Plaid Cymru's manifesto, it's a very chunky document. There's a lot of detail there, and in fairness, they've elucidated their vision very well. And then when it comes to the manifesto, like the Labour manifesto, obviously, it's very much an area where they can look back at their past achievements as they see them and build on that. So they're all coming from a slightly different place, but say quantity doesn't necessarily mean quality, and that's not to say it doesn't as well.
So we talked there about the visions being set out in these documents, but does that matter when few people are going to read them?
I think the obviously for us as sort of people in the policy sort of field, it's really interesting to see the sort of the detail in policy. But as you said, you know, that doesn't necessarily translate from the manifestos into the wider public directly. I mean, you know, it's not many members of the public who will go out and you know, download each of the party manifestos and go through the fine tooth comb, if any, to be perfectly honest.
Well, you don't think they should lose the vote for not doing that? For not taking this election seriously?
No, but I think, you know, as somebody who works to work in the media myself, I think there's an important role for the media in, you know, going through these manifestos, analysing the detail of it, and, you know, but, you know, boiling it down to the key points and the key differences between the parties for the public to then make a rational decision on it.
And to be honest, the parties do a lot of that themselves in terms of identifying key pledges. So with some parties, we've had three, if not four, launches. We've had campaign launch, key pledge launch, then a manifesto launch. I see Labour's doing another manifesto launch in North Wales today. The Lib Dems did one for the lesbian, gay and bisexual community the other day. And Plaid Cymru have done one for young people and older people. People are trying to package it in different ways, seeking that media attention on a given day by trying to highlight certain policies. But let me touch on this issue of difference versus sameness. There's two policy areas I've noticed really prominently this time, both in pledges and in the core text that we're reading, and that's stuff around childcare, and it's about the thresholds for social services care amongst older people. I can never remember those two things featuring quite so heavily in the past across the board. But having said that, the pledges around them are pretty similar now, as if for some reason these two things have had a breakthrough, and there's a fight over the cash value attached, perhaps, or the point at which something kicks in.
I think that's a very good, you know, point that Darren's made. I think there are certain ideas that perhaps have their time and are sort of, you know, coming through to the manifesto. I mean, something we've seen a lot of in the manifestos is, you know, commitments on business rates, you know, for our members. And, you know, one of the things that we've seen is that there's a lot more detail in some than others. Some are expressed in different ways. However, there does seem to be a general theme that is taken up by, you know, a large number of the parties in some shape or form.
Well, you seem to get more checks than any economic thinker in world history. So you've obviously done a pretty good job in terms of communicating, but you're not alone in that.
No.
And I like the way that things are credited to outside organisations. Mm. And there's been a lot of criticism about directed towards Labour in recent weeks. But I have to say, I found the process that Labour used to compile this particular manifesto the most open and the most discursive that they've ever used. I thought they were more interested this time round in gathering the views of other people just rather than just imagining they have a monopoly on good sense, which actually some in the Labour Party do believe, but I don't think it's the right sort of attitude. So even though they produced their manifesto that bit later, I think it's a more thought-through document, a more well-structured document than they've produced on a number of other occasions. I may be alone in that, because when I'm looking at Twitter, nobody else seems to like it at all. It's too short, it's full of pictures, all the rest of it. But it does have a decent narrative, and it clearly shows they're seeking to reach out, which I think is a big difference for them this time.
Yeah, so I suppose this method of, I think it was the Carbon Connect series, and you went out and asked for direct ideas from the public. I think Plaid also did a little bit of this. Do we think this is a kind of thinking, this engagement with the public, that's going to shape future policy ideas, or do you think this is a flash in the pan?
I hope it's not a flash in the pan for Labour. I hope it's part of a continuous dialogue. The others have been doing it for quite some time. I'm long enough from the Tuff. This is my fifth Assembly election. You know, even most of virtually all the original Assembly members have left, and I'm still hammering away and reading these things. And if you look at Applied and Lib Dems particularly, they've always been very good at it. Yeah. And there was a big shift, and let me be historical just for a moment, between 1999 and 2003 with the Welsh Conservatives. Where in 1999 they had a grudge note on the manifesto, and by 2003, when the estimable David Melding took over the policy formulation process, he actually started, from his party's perspective, this sort of engagement as well. It's taken Labour longer to get there, but everyone seems to be doing it in a broadly similar way. Even UKIP these days.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, if you look through UKIP's manifesto, there are policies that you would traditionally associate with UKIP, but there are other policies that we've heard talked about in the wider policy community in Wales over some time, to be perfectly honest. And I think it is good to see that all the parties are engaging with outside partners and engaging with the public to get, you know, because nobody's got a monopoly on good policies. There are good policies out there that, you know, are crying out to be championed.
There are two points I referred to earlier, and if I can just come back to them a little. One of them is around legislation, Jess. And it struck me that for some parties, particularly Labour, it's much more difficult to discern from manifestos this time which pledges require legislation and which don't. I don't think that's a particularly helpful development.
No.
Because I think in the wake of the referendum in 2011, yeah, and even back in 2007, I remember Labour having a launch of the list of legislative competence orders that they wanted to see.
Yeah.
Right? But I don't see that level of clarity around legislation. And that might not be a problem for Labour in this campaign, but if they don't have a clear, meaty legislative programme, if they were to form a government, I think that'll come back and bite them on the wherever. Because Carwyn Jones said quite clearly back in 2011 he wanted the tools to do the job, that it required legislative powers to act. So I am looking, not just in this campaign, but beyond that, for Labour to be much, much clearer over what those legislative tools would be.
No, I think you're absolutely right there, because it doesn't set out in detail, you know, what sort of legislative programme we could expect. I mean, you know, on the basis of the Labour manifesto, you could expect a number of different legislative programmes based on the other commitments that they've made in the manifesto. And I think, you know, we've got to appreciate it is hard for any incumbent party to set out a manifesto in the same detail as perhaps, you know, other parties have, given that they've already got the records that they've got behind them to stand on as well. So I think perhaps we shouldn't be surprised that it's harder for Labour to set out in the detail, perhaps we've seen from, you know, Plaid and the Liberal Democrats specifically, you know, about what their legislative programme would be.
And Labour's not great on costings either. I don't think they're particularly transparent, and I'm not sure I trust the ones in the Conservative manifesto, because there's a lot of things being offered, but not a huge amount of cuts going on there. So it seems to me there's more robustness from a financial perspective with maybe the Lib Dems and Plaid than the other parties.
So let's talk about a future potential coalition. Labour's manifesto misses a couple of details, for example, the number of local authorities they might reduce down to, the type of M4 relief road. Do you think this is them missing detail in order to be able to negotiate after an election if a coalition were to be needed?
Well, I think that's absolutely and fundamentally the right analysis, particularly around the M4 relief road. I think I know there's been an internal battle within Labour, whether they committed in that manifesto to the black route or not. I think it's allowed them a lot more negotiation and wiggle room by not specifying.
Yeah, I think when it comes to the M4 relief fraud, I think, you know, at the end of the day, everybody is in favour of an M4 relief fraud of some nature. The issue is the M4 relief fraud and the particular one they go for. And I think that it's a really welcome and pragmatic move, to be perfectly honest, by the Labour Party in setting it out in this way in their manifesto. You know, I think it's, you know, we don't often see policy areas where you'd have Plaid Cymru, the Liberal Democrats and UKIP all on the same page. And one of the areas we've seen that is their opposition to the black route.
Yeah, so interestingly, it's only the Conservatives who've actually committed to doing a black route within 12 months.
Well, if you read the manifesto carefully, actually, have they committed to winning the black route? If you know, I've seen obviously the press release they put out before the manifesto issue suggested that they wanted a review of the route and then spades in the ground within 12 months. It was obviously ambitious to get spades in the ground within 12 months. But even they are talking about, you know, a review of it. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens post the election when it comes to the M4 relief fraud, because let's be honest, a relief fraud of sorts is needed. It's just a question of which option is chosen.
Great, well, thank you very much. Let us know what you think on the hashtag IWA podcast and join us again next week.